Little faith will bring your soul to heaven, and a great faith will bring heaven to your soul. And it's my prayer that heaven will be brought to our soul. And heaven to our soul is the goal that each one of us should be searching for. That we would desire to find heaven's shalom, heaven's peace and joy with us at all times, especially in the midst of difficulties and the midst of trials, as we just sang, in the good times and the bad. And we pray that we'll be able to trust the Lord for sustenance through the unpleasant problems and difficult times of our life. Today I want to share some scripture from the book of Habakkuk. Now, most of you probably don't even know where Habakkuk is in the Bible. Good thing many of us now have smartphones and tablets and all that, and it's not that hard to find it, right? But some of us who have Bibles, let me tell you, believe me, it's in there. You just have to search for it. As you search for God, you'll find God in His Word. But in Habakkuk chapter 3, and starting in verse 17, Habakkuk 3, starting in verse 17 through 19, we see one of the strongest affirmations of faith in all of the Scripture. And this is what it says in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. And many times I have prayed this prayer and read this prayer as I was going through difficult times in my life, needing to hear from God, not seeing what I believed I should be seeing. God reminded me of this scripture. And it says, though the fig tree does not bud, it doesn't blossom, it's not flourishing, and there are no grapes on the vine, in other words, there's no fruit that you can see, though the olive crop fails, it looks like there is deadness, and the fields produce no food, there's dryness. Though there are no sheep in the pen, maybe the refrigerator is empty and the cupboards are bare. And there's no cattle in the stalls, there's emptiness. And it says, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. And the sovereign Lord is my strength, and He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. And this has been my prayer on many of occasions. And I pray that you would look to this scripture when it seems sometimes that things are just not seeming and going right, and you're looking for answers for God. You know, in this portion of the scripture, Habakkuk, I believe, has learned the lesson of faith to trust in God's providence and God's fortune, regardless of the circumstances and regardless of the situation. He declares that even if God should send suffering, calamity, difficulty, emptiness, loss, that we in the midst of all of this would rejoice in our God, who is our Savior. Now that's easier said than done, isn't it? You're probably sitting there and say, listen, Rabbi Yossi, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm feeling. You don't know the difficult circumstances. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Because I have been there. I have gone through it. I have gone through tragedies after tragedies, problems after problems. I've gone through difficult times where we had no food in the refrigerator. I've been times where I had no car to drive at all. I was times where I had this car that my kids were embarrassed to even get in the car with me. It was so ugly. that people would egg the car, you know, and throw eggs at it. It was so ugly that white smoke would be billowing out of it as I went down the road. And I said, please, Dad, please don't pick me up at school. Please, I'll walk. Don't pick me up. I know what it is in difficult times. Yet we need to learn how to rejoice in God, our Savior. In the Targum, or the Aramaic translation of this, it says, but in the word of the Lord will I rejoice. That is, Habakkuk would trust and rejoice in the personal, substantial word of God. And we have to trust in God's word, that his word is true, and yes, and amen. What God's word says, we have to believe it, we have to trust it, we have to know it in our heart, that it's yes and amen in Messiah Yeshua, that God knows what you need before you ask or pray. He knows. In verse 19, Habakkuk declares that the Lord is his strength and that he gives him sure-footed confidence. Like that deer, that sure-footed, that can climb the hills and the mountains, he gives us that sure-footed confidence. That is what Melech David, or King David, meant in Psalm chapter 18, in verses 32 through 33, where it says, again, Psalm 18, starting in verse 32, it is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. And he makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on the height. Feet of a deer. There's a sure-footedness there, and a quickness there, and a stability there. And God allows me to stand on heights. Now, these two verses here give one of the finest examples of submission to God's will and confidence in the Lord's faithfulness in all of the Scripture. Habakkuk saw the evil that was all around him, the evil times that were taking place in Israel, what was taking place, and even some of the things that were unavoidable. But in the midst of that, he chose to submit to the will of God. That's what he wanted to do. That is, whatever God was going to deal, him personally, or the people of Israel, whatever God would parcel out, that he would accept it. Are we willing to accept whatever God is going to deal to us? Or are we going to complain and complain and complain? Raise your hand if you're a complainer. I need to raise my hand. Wait a minute. Now, I'm not going to raise my other foot, okay? I'll raise like this. Yes, I'm a complainer. I know it. I admit it. We all should be raising our hands because we all complain. We all aren't satisfied all the time. But he knew that God was merciful and God was gracious. He trusted in God's promise. Though all appearances were against these things being fulfilled and taking place, he knew that the word of God would not fail. And we need to know that the word of God will not fail. And because of this, his confidence was unshaken, and our confidence has to be unshaken as well. Now, our Messiah, Yeshua, is really the perfect example of faith and trust in God in the midst of difficulties and trials. And because he suffered horribly and he faced great temptation, he understands our problems and he truly cares. As a result, we can totally trust our Father in heaven, and we know that we have a great mediator in the Messiah Yeshua to stand in our defense at the right hand of the Father. We read these words in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Again, Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16. It says these words here. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Therefore, since we have a great Kohen Gadol, a high priest, who has gone through the heavens, Yeshua, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. For we do not have a Kohen Gadol, a high priest, who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted. Yeshua has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. What an example to follow in the life of Yeshua, who was tempted in every way. Now you can sit there and say, well, that's because he was God incarnate. He was God manifested in the flesh. He knew where he came from. He knew he was going. It was easy for him. Contrary. He was a man like you and I. He had feelings. He had hurts. He felt betrayal. When his best friends betrayed him, how that hurt. He felt all the sins upon the world, of the world upon himself, as he was nailed in his feet and hands to that tree. He felt those things and more than we could ever imagine. Yes, he knows. And because he went through all that for us, he cares. And he's willing to stand in our behalf and approach God and say, yes, this is mine. Yes, she is mine. Yes, he is mine. He's covered, she's covered with my blood. I have bought them. Yeshua rejoiced in the word of the Lord, and he understood the need for being filled with the Ruach Elohim, with the very spirit and breath of God. And when tempted by the evil one in Matthew 4:4, Yeshua says, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. So you remember, or remember when you're going through difficult times, that you don't live by just the material things of this world, but you stand on the very and every word of God, everything that's spoken by God, every word written in the Word of God, that's where you stand. You stand on that solid ground, which is Yeshua. Now, faith lives not by bread alone. It feeds on promises. It makes future glory present. It sees all in God. And when that fig tree doesn't blossom, faith can find joy in the God of our salvation. As God gave the children of Israel manna in that supernatural way in the desert, so also we must trust on God for our spiritual feeding as well. Spiritual feeding will fill us when we are empty spiritually, physically, and emotionally. God's word will feed us. Now, many of us here are going through difficult times in our walks with the Lord. And you're here today, and maybe you feel that the fig tree and the grapevines and the olive branches are barren. There's no sheep or cattle in the stalls. At times, you might feel like you're dry bones in a barren desert. Maybe you're sitting there thinking, that's me, yes, that's me. I need to hear from God. I need healing from God. I need a job, Lord. I need a car, Lord. Touch me. Lord, I just need a miracle. Yet can we rejoice in these difficult situations and these difficult times that we're going through? Can we still seek the Lord earnestly in the midst of these hardships and these difficulties that we're going through? And that's the key to finding victory in Yeshua. Now, when Melech David, when King David was in the desert of Judah, he wrote these words in Psalm 63:1. And I often use this when I'm praying, these words from Psalm 63:1, because I want that to be a reality in my life, that hunger and that thirst for God. It says in Psalm 63:1, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and a weary land where there is no water. Can you say, as King David says here in verse 2 through 5, I have seen you in the sanctuary, and I have beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the riches of food. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. Can we say that? Can we say that in the midst of all of this? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that your love is better than life, oh God. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can we, mere mortal people, can we praise God in the midst of a desert experience and rejoice in His salvation? Can we praise Him as long as we live and be satisfied as if we had partaken in the riches of foods? And when faced with a desert adversity, will we still lift our hands in praise? And will we still sing loving songs and music to the Lord our God in the midst of all that we're going through? It's not easy. You know, some of us, I see some of you sometimes, you're kind of walking like this. Your head downward. It's like you're scraping your nose on the concrete. We need to lift our heads high. We need to lift our arms to God. We need to look toward heaven and lift our praises to the Lord God of heaven and earth. Say, yes, Lord, you are God alone in the good and in the bad. In the difficult situations and circumstances, you are God alone. I trust you with all of my heart, Lord. Forgive me for my weakness, Lord. Forgive me for my failing, Lord. I put my faith and trust in your word and your promises, oh God. Can we do that in the midst of all of this? You know, no one said that our walk with the Lord would be easy and would be problem-free. We were never promised a rose garden. You know, the patriarch, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, all the prophets and all the kings of Israel, they faced many adversities and hardships. Yeshua suffered great injustice and persecution for the kingdom of God, that we might have eternal life through his atoning death. Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, in his Talmudim, and the Talmudim of Yeshua faced great opposition and were martyred for the word of God. I've heard people say, oh, I wish I could have been there with Yeshua like Peter was and like John was and like Thomas was. And oh, you don't know what you're saying. Peter was crucified upside down. Thomas was speared to death in India. John was boiled alive in oil. He survived. I don't praise the Lord. And you want to be like them? Well, I hope that you can when the difficult times come, that you're willing to be able to say that you would sacrifice your life for the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord. You know, if you're having difficult times, you're in good company. You're in good company. At least you still have your head. Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, had his head chopped off. You still have your head. Now, it may not be on right sometimes, but you still have your head. And I'm here to help you. If you need an adjustment, all right, I'll help to get your head in the right spot there. However, as John said in 1 John 5:4, everyone born of God overcomes the world. We need to be overcomers. Thank you, Lord. The indwelling Ruach Elohim, the very breath and spirit of the living God, gives us the strength to walk in victory day by day. Thank you, Lord. Rav Shaul, again, the Apostle Paul, understood the pain and struggle of our daily walk and assured us of God's everlasting love and our victory in Yeshua, the Messiah. As he wrote in Romans 8:37 through 39, these words where he said, "No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither life nor death, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate you from the love of God which is in the Messiah, Yeshua our Lord." Thank you, Lord. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing can. Yes, Lord. What did Habakkuk mean when he said, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my strength"? He was saying to us that it does not matter how the circumstances and situations appear in the flesh, in the mortal. For he had found the secret of being content in every and each situation because he trusted in God's faithful hand of love that carried him from one stage to the another in his life. And we read these words from Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, in the book of Philippians in chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, where he said these words in Philippians 4, verses 11 through 13, he said these words, "I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content wherever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength." Thank you. There is a secret there to learning to be content in every circumstance and situation. And it's a secret that we all need to learn. And we can be assured that we can do everything through Yeshua, our Messiah, who strengthens us. He gives us the strength to rejoice in the midst of difficulties and in the midst of hardships and in the midst of sufferings. He gives us the ability to do that. I want to just, as I'm heading toward my first closing here, actually heading toward the end here, I want to look at a couple scriptures here that sum up our need to approach God in all things so that we might walk in peaceful joy, trusting Him and expecting good things from the Lord. Again in Philippians, hopefully you're still there, in chapter 4 and looking at verse 4 through 7, where it says, Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And I will say it again, rejoice, and let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the shalom, that peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and guard your minds in the Messiah, Yeshua." Don't be anxious, people. Seek Him in your prayers. Petition Him in everything. Let thanksgiving flow upon your lips. That God's peace would come upon you, beyond even understanding. In Yeshua. Matthew 6:33. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seeking first Him. We often look other places before we look to God. A lot of times we look to the world, the material things, the worldly things, the unspiritual things, before we look to God. And sometimes as a last resort, we look to God. Okay, Lord, well, I couldn't figure out any other way to do it, and I just couldn't come up with a better plan, so I guess I'll seek You now, Lord. Seek first. What did I just say? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, as we approach what is called the end of days, some people think it's the end of this year at Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, and they're counting on all these blood moons and the Shemitah and all that to carry them to heaven. Who knows when God will decide to send Yeshua back. But we are approaching the end of times, the end of days. We see the ugliness in the world today. Oh, what an ugly world we live in. This world makes me cringe. When I look at this country that we're in today, this home of the free and the brave, unless you're an unborn baby, right? Country where morality has been thrown into the trash bin. Where anything that feels good is a go nowadays. Doesn't matter what you call yourself. If it feels good, do it. I just read the other day how our president announced this June that we're in now. He gave a proclamation. I was reading the proclamation that this is National LGBT Month. This is National Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender Month, and that we should be celebrating diversity. Celebrating, Lord my God. That's what they were doing in Sodom and Gomorrah when hell and brimstone came down. Celebrating their diversity. And I would not doubt that we're going to see hail and brimstone upon this nation as well. God's judgment is upon this nation. So as we approach these end of days, times are going to become more difficult and frightful. Yeshua said in Matthew 24, verses 16 through 13, Matthew 24, verses 6 through 13, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Unless you're deaf and blind, you're seeing and hearing these things now. Can't turn on the TV, the radio without hearing these things. You will hear rumors of war. But see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines. Oh, there's famines more than we even know about taking place. Earthquakes. Goodness, look at all the earthquakes taking place in various places. These are just the beginning of birth pains. Can you see these things multiplied 100-fold? Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you will be hated by all nations because of Me. I hear people all the time tell me, oh, when those times come, I'll stick with Yeshua. I'll stand with the Jewish people regardless of death and persecution. Oh, you all don't know what you're even talking about sometimes. What it means to suffer for the sake of Messiah and be willing to die for that. Think about those words a little bit more before you speak them. It is the beginning of birth pains. Being handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you'll be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate one another. I've seen so many people turn away from the faith. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many. And you don't even have to go very far to see those. Turn on your TV. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. You will be saved if you stand firm to the end. And Yeshua goes on to say, then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now. Now we're talking about even Noah's flood. We're talking about Sodom and Gomorrah. We're talking about inquisitions, holocausts, pogroms. We're talking about horrific genocide throughout the world. And unequaled from the beginning, it's going to be worse than ever has taken place before. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. You know, I could go on and on and on about all the difficulties facing the world and facing our lives as we approach the last days, but this is not the message I want to share today. But it's still things that you need to hear. I want us all to leave today realizing that in the midst of these horrific, world-changing, cataclysmic events that are going to take place, we need to cling to the only hope that will bring us through the trials and tribulations. We need to cling to that hope. During these difficult times, we need to cling to, we need to look to Yeshua. We need to seek the Lord with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength in the midst of all of that. We need to trust the Lord with our very lives and put our lives faithfully in His loving hands, trusting Him that He will take care of us. Once we have done this, able to do this, we could say, as we read from the beginning from Habakkuk, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will find and I will be joyful in God my strength. And that's my prayer, that we would be able to find joy and strength as we put faith, our faith in God and faith in His Word. And I believe that we can do that. But you all have to be praying. You all have to be in the Word of God. You have to fast to break and loosen those chains in your lives. You need to be able to sit in the presence of God and say, God, here I am. Here I am, Lord. And maybe you don't even know what to say. Lord, I'm speechless. Lord, I don't even know what to say. I've messed up so bad. Lord, I feel I'm a disappointment to you and to my family, to everyone else. Lord, I'm here. Here I am, Lord. And just be filled. Just be filled. Praying for His mercy. Praying for His